really have to have a thick skin to live in the Twitter world, folks. Warning, is your skin thick enough for this heavy-duty bleepage?
You're getting gassed, b***h. Lindy West is a fat b***h. You f***ing obese cow. Fat people should be rounded up and shot.
This is the kind of thing feminist writer Lindy West has had to put up with for years. Among many other issues, she writes about her weight. She's a self-declared fat woman, which I suppose means President-elect Donald Trump won't be tweeting at her. But this is the odd thing about Twitter. From presidents to popes to haters to out-and-out Nazis, Twitter is this American First Amendment free speech sanctuary that maybe isn't doing the First Amendment any favors these days. And it may be why several notable writers have announced that they are leaving Twitter. Sherman Alexie, Ta-Nehisi Coates, and Lindy West, who I mentioned above, have all tweeted for the last time, they say. It's a pattern, let's not call it a boycott, and they may all come back. Alexie says Twitter's negatives increasingly outweigh its positives. Coates thinks it's a distraction as he takes time to focus on writing a new book. For Lindy West, though, it goes beyond thick skin and trolls. In a piece for The Guardian, where she's a columnist, she says Twitter is becoming an internet home where neo-Nazis roam free.
It was more of a spontaneous impulse than a New Year's resolution. Although it does feel like a juice cleanse, a molting, a polar bear plunge, a clean slate. Except the opposite, like throwing your slate into a volcano and running. One moment I was brains deep in the usual way, half-heartedly arguing with strangers, and the next moment the US president-elect was using the self-same platform to taunt North Korea about the size of its nuclear program. And I realized, I'm done. I could be swimming right now, or flossing, or digging a big pointless pit. Anything else. Twitter for the past 5 years has been a machine where I put in unpaid work and tension headaches come out. I write jokes there for free. I post political commentary for free. I answer questions for free. I teach feminism 101 for free. Off Twitter, these are all things by which I make my living. In fact, they comprise the totality of my income. But on Twitter, I do them pro bono, and in return, I am micromanaged in real time by strangers. Neo-Nazis mine my personal life for vulnerabilities to exploit, and men enjoy unfettered direct access to my brain so they can inform me for the 1,000th time that they would gladly rape me if I weren't so fat. I talk back and I am feeding the trolls. I say nothing and the harassment escalates. I report threats and I'm a censor. I use mass blocking tools to curb abuse, and I'm abused further for blocking unfairly. I have to conclude, after half a decade of troubleshooting, that it may simply be impossible to make this platform usable for anyone but trolls, robots, and dictators. Surprisingly, none of that is the reason I left. I still love Twitter. The speed of information, the breadth of analysis, the jokes, the gifs, the fortifying, albeit intermittent, solidarity. But I'm leaving anyway. For a while. I hate to disappoint anyone, but the breaking point for me wasn't the trolls themselves. If I've learned anything from the dark side of Twitter, it's how to feel nothing when a frog calls you the C-word. It was the global repercussions of Twitter's refusal to stop them. The white supremacist, anti-feminist, isolationist, transphobic, alt-right movement has been beta-testing its propaganda and intimidation machine on marginalized Twitter communities for years now, and discovered, to its leering delight, that the limit did not exist. No one cared. Twitter abuse was a grand-scale normalization project, disseminating libel and disinformation, muddying long-held cultural givens, such as, racism is bad, and sexual assault is bad, and lying is bad, and authoritarianism is bad. And ultimately greasing the wheels for Donald Trump's ascendance to the U.S. presidency.
I think I picked up yesterday 100,000 people. I'm not saying I love it, but it does get the word out.
On December 29th, Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey tweeted, "What's the most important thing you want to see Twitter improve or create in 2017? One user responded, "Comprehensive plan for getting rid of the Nazis." "We've been working on our policies and controls," Dorsey replied. "What's the next most critical thing?" "Oh, what's our second highest priority after Nazis, I'd say number two is also Nazis. And number three. In fact, you can just go ahead and slide Nazis into the top 100 spots. Get back to me when your website isn't a roiling rat king of Nazis. Trump uses his Twitter account to set hate mobs on private citizens, attempt to silence journalists who write unfavorably about him, lie to the American people, and bulldoze complex diplomatic relationships with other world powers. I quit Twitter because it feels unconscionable to be a part of it, to generate revenue for it, to participate in its profoundly broken culture, and lend my name to its legitimacy. Twitter's home to a wealth of fantastic anti-Trump organizing as well, but I'm personally weary of feeling hostage to a platform that has treated me and the people I care about so poorly. We can do good work elsewhere. I'm pretty sure ushered in kleptocracy would be a deal breaker for any other company that wanted my business. If I found out my favorite coffee shop was even remotely complicit in World War III, I would bare minimum switch coffee shops. I might give up coffee altogether. Apparently that sentiment is in the air, because as I was writing this column, I came across a post by my friend Lauren Hoffman, a writer for Vulture and Cosmopolitan. She said, "I've made many real good friends on Twitter, but I guess if I met all my friends working at, like, the mall, and the mall became a tacit endorsement of fascism, I would keep the friends, but stop going to the mall." Keep the friends. Ditch the mall.
That's Lindy West, feminist writer and columnist for The Guardian. She's also author of a new book called Shrill, a memoir that includes some colorful tales of her life on Twitter. We did reach out to Twitter for a comment on all this. If and when we hear back, we'll let you know. Maybe we'll even tweet it to you.
This is Lori from Plano. I think, no, they're not doing enough to police hate speech, and I don't think it's the role of social media to police. They could possibly get some better filters to help with that. So it's really hard to answer because some of that speech turns into actions. We don't want that. Now, on the other hand, freedom of speech is a right.
Your calls on this all hour at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
The Takeaway is supported by Enterprise Florida, working to promote Florida as a premier business destination for companies interested in relocation or expansion. More information at floridathefutureishere.com.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.